And so we'll call the meeting to order. The first order of business is we've got the minutes from the, do you have the 4th and the 18th or just the 4th?
I have the 4th and the 18th.
Okay. So I'd ask for a motion to accept those minutes.
I'll move it.
Okay. Do I have a second? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Certainly if there's any additions that you come up with after. We had sent out letters to the haulers that are registered with the UCRA, inviting them to come either to this meeting or to the next meeting. Also to submit any written comments if they were unable to come. Do you know, has Liz heard back anything? Actually, I asked them to send it through the chair of the legislature because I wasn't sure who to direct it to. So I'll check with Vicki and see if she's had any written comments. I also gave them my contact info, and no one has reached out to me. Basically informed them of what this committee was doing and giving them the opportunity to offer any feedback that they wished, and through the end of next week. And those went out right at our last meeting. So gave them a month time to respond back. And so I don't know if you've had any questions, Mark, from any of the haulers directed to the UCRA.
No.
So that's the status on that. Next was a discussion to continue discussing the contract. Oh, yeah.
Before that, I realized that I had offered and have not delivered on reaching out to Oneida Herkimer to talk to them about a visit. Is everyone still interested in that?
I
think it would be very helpful. Okay.
Yeah, so I would agree.
I will do that, and I apologize for not.
Okay.
Maybe we could do it on the same day as a meeting, maybe on a Friday. And what?
Well, it's kind of a long day. I mean, it's a long drive, and we can't meet on the bus. We can't actually discuss just because of open meetings.
Right. Yeah. Duh. Okay. Never mind.
But
thanks.
Yeah, we can. What I'll do is I'll find out what. Well, first of all, can I just ask? Is there a better time or day for people? There obviously be during the work day. Is there a day of the week that's out for anybody other than Wednesday?
Mondays and Fridays. Sorry. Okay. I mean, I could make other, if one of those dates works good for everybody, I can just make other arrangements.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll see. Pushes it to Tuesday and Thursday, then I just have to watch. Looking back, session day, we have to watch for
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll find out about their availability, and then I'll report back next week.
Are we looking at a specific change?
No, I'm talking about the Oneida Herkimer tour.
Just
before I ask him about coming. If he starts offering dates. Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, obviously we want as many people to go as possible, but if the bulk of us can go, I think we'll get the feedback, and that's not to say we shouldn't try to accommodate everybody as much as possible.
It will require some coordination from the county in terms of transportation,
mm-hmm.
and I would recommend that we, obviously, that Mark's included.
Yeah.
And agency representatives if necessary, and then also environment committee members,
mm-hmm.
If they haven't been as well.
And will we be getting a van?
It's what we've done all the other times, so yeah, I think so. I think that's what we've worked to get a UCAT vehicle.
I have a crazy question. Where is that in New York State? Is that like...
Northwest,
all right.
Yeah.
Kind
of
Utica area.
Yeah.
Probably,
what, 3.5 hours?
No, okay.
No.
So
3.
My gut would be about, 140 miles, but I check it.
I feel like it's
seemed like more than 3 hours when we did it.
Just to mention that Donna Eakin invited a couple people to the last agency meeting, and I think they were from Delaware and Sullivan. And I know the agency's sort of thinking about the possibility of Gus as well. Delaware has a very independent system, which means that in terms of, you know, regionalization, they may be just fine as they are, was my sense. But anyway, to be determined.
Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, just to clarify, because there's been some things out in the newspaper on what that meeting was really to accomplish. It was to get them a tour of our composting facility, especially Sullivan brings it here, and then Delaware had, you know, they have a different system. They basically are essentially composting almost everything, and so just seeing that, hearing about that system, and then we engage Dutchess County because they also are looking for solutions too. But it was as much about them being able to tour our facility, and we're one of the largest composting facilities around, as it was, you know, I had a conversation with Bill Kemble because the way the article came off, it was like we were exploring for ideas, and that wasn't exactly, I mean, part of it we are, but a lot of it was they wanted to come see our operation as well.
Smiling and nodding, because we've all learned with Mr. Kemble you have to be incredibly exact, because if you're not, he will take it and twist it to not necessarily in a bad way, but just take it with his opinion of what happened. So so with that, before we move on, Tracy had indicated that the next couple meetings might be a problematic meeting time. So we're scheduled right now to meet every Thursday for the month of May at 9:30. Have not heard back yet from the legislative chair, but I did forward the request that we be allowed to continue. They indicated verbally that they did not think that that was an issue. I just haven't heard anything officially back. So it's on my list to follow up with the chair and the clerk. The legislature. With that being said, is there a different day or a different time that people could meet at least the next 2 weeks, if not for the rest of the month? So if you want to just all take a moment before we get into other topics, so we're not rushed at the end of the meeting to try to figure this out.
It's the last 2 weeks. I'm fine on Thursday.
Oh, the last 2 weeks you're fine.
Yeah, it's just
so it's the 9th and the 16th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then instead of the 9th and the 16th, is there a different day that people could meet?
How about the 10th and the 17th?
The Friday in the mornings?
It's hard for me. I host a national call at 11, but I can do it from here, and we just I will have to leave the meeting if it runs over past 11 on Friday.
Yeah, I can even just change your schedule. Yeah, because I do online Zoom meetings with my grandkids for school.
Do you know, is the room available those days?
I'll have to check with the executive's office, but I don't see any conflict on
that. Okay. So I'm not hearing any conflicts
we'll
that can't
be. Check with March.
Yeah, we'll check with March, and Michael's going to check to make sure the room is available, but there's nothing on the schedule right now. So for the moment, we'll move from the 9th to the 10th, and from the 16th to the 17th.
Thank you all very much.
And that'll still be at 9:30.
So they're going to do all that professionalism in 2 weeks? They're going to put out a professional
I don't know about that. We're going to try our best.
Okay. Do we want to discuss, without Comptroller Gallagher, who was doing the bulk of the contract analysis, do we want to talk more about the contract? Or if not, I could. I went through all our minutes and put together this bullet point, trying to group things together in categories of the very beginnings of what we have discussed for these last 5 months.
Before we move into that, let me make sure I understand how we're proceeding, because I missed the first few meetings. So we are going to get to intergovernmental relations like that. We are not done with
intergovernmental relations. We are not. The contract was the bulk of the intergovernmental relations, at least in the opinion of the committee from the beginning, that intergovernmental relations pretty much was the contract, as well as the relations with the municipalities, which we haven't touched on really yet. We've touched on it very broadly in other conversations, but not specifically.
Okay, so I want to make sure we circle back and
highlight
that.
Yeah, I just, you know, in because people were asking, and rightfully so, where are we headed, you know, I put together that last meeting, but that was a very quick thrown together. This I spent a lot more time on. I went through all the minutes, went through all my notes. Yeah.
And actually, obviously, the controller would have to be here for a contract.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why.
I'm willing to put it off. I just wanted to make sure we weren't not doing any more.
Yes, Lena.
For intergovernment relations, I think it's the contract, but there is a resolution that could be reconsidered that Tracy included, which in a sense I guess could be spelled out in the contract, but it was to expand the board of the RRA.
Yes.
And the other thing is the future of the RRA, that's still on the table. It may be resolved in the contract, but there is still a recommendation that the agency essentially be disbanded, which would take an act of the state legislature, and also that it become a county department, if I'm saying that correctly.
And that's why I'm holding back on, because that'll open up a whole can of worms. Let's get to that once we get to the intergovernmental stuff.
Well,
yeah.
So
oh,
a question,
yeah.
Because and it may be my error that I forgot that Comptroller Gallagher wouldn't be here today. Do we want to, rather than talk about this, do we want to go into that today?
I don't think without her here that it's possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a fair answer. We'll put that on our agenda for next week then.
Yeah.
And, yes, Tracy.
And just to expand on Mama's comment, I think that the consideration, assuming that the agency, assuming that the recommendation is to move forward with keeping the agency an independent agency, the recommendation for expanding the board is definitely an intergovernmental. It falls into that category for sure, because in part it considers whether or not the prohibition on elected officials would be maintained,
mm-hmm.
and whether or not legislators, there was discussion about whether or not legislators would sit, whether or not a member of the Supervisors Association by right would have a seat at the board. So in that way, it really does speak directly to intergovernmental relations, and it cannot be strictly a contractual discussion. In fact,
Agreed.
It's not a contractual discussion at all, because it would require state enabling. So,
I will put that on the agenda for next meeting.
I think it's pretty critical, and I appreciate Legislator Green that you brought that up, because it's important that we at least discuss it. And the issue, I don't want to give the issue of alternative suggestions, which have been raised by members of this committee and members of the legislature, in terms of whether or not we move forward with suggesting a county department, for lack of another term. I think we have to give that due time of discussion. If for nothing other than to actually be thorough in our recommendation. We haven't had a conversation. It's so much what we're specifically directed to do in the resolution,
mm-hmm.
is about the future of the RRA.
Wow.
Which again, that's like the, this is the repeat cycle of the multiple committees considering this, and the last one, which I forgot, I don't know if we found whether or not there was digital copy on the committee that Carl Belfilio led. If not, I can bring hard copy. But that committee, which I sat on, that committee did have a final recommendation and a specific recommendation not to disband the agency, to keep the agency in place. I'm not saying this trying to telegraph my opinion. I do have an opinion at this moment, but I'm looking forward to the discussion with all of you. But that recommendation happened at a really different point in time, because disbanding the agency at that point, just as it would now, would have required satisfaction of all outstanding debt, and the outstanding debt at that moment in time was very significant.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in a different place, and I think we do need to have the conversation at the table with all of us here.
Do you have a, it sounds like you have a hard copy of that report.
I do. It's three binders full. It's like three. It looks like that, basically.
Yeah.
Maybe a little smaller than that. And I can bring it.
That's the report?
Yeah.
I mean, we absolutely could get it, if we could borrow it, scan it, if there is no electronic version.
Yeah, it includes, part of what makes it so long is it includes, there was a portion of our work where we submitted questions in writing, and all the questions and all the answers and all the backup documents are contained. So, for any of you who haven't seen it, it would be interesting to look at it, not just from a historical perspective, but just as informing
what year
our work now.
What about just the recommendation? Could maybe, if that
is the last. So, 9 years ago.
Was that a legislative committee?
Yes.
So
yeah.
Probably, if that's the case, and it was 2015, because I vaguely remember that time frame, but I'm sure those records would be here.
Why don't I explore that with staff?
Mr. Chairman, even if we just get an executive summary.
Exactly.
Even that would be very helpful.
Well, let's see what we can find.
I'll make a note to bring.
Yeah.
Even just the executive summary.
I don't know.
Tracy,
okay.
So you don't have to copy the whole thing or whatever.
Well, I'll bring the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay, let that be. Okay.
It's your weight lift.
Yeah, right. It'll work out.
Yeah, if it was, if it was that recent, being that I know 9 years is a long time, but 9 years is a short time historically. I'm sure there's a copy, or at least there may not be a digital version, but there's got to be a copy here. And in 15, there probably is a digital version of it.
And it was done just before the flow control legislation was passed?
Yeah,
that would have been after the flow
control. That was
after.
Well,
after.
Yeah.
That was 2012, 2013.
Okay.
I think there was another.
Do you happen to remember what the name of the committee was?
Right, book number three.
Oh, you found it?
I found it, yeah.
Whoa, okay.
Do you remember the name of the committee?
Agencies. A special committee on the future of the RRA.
Thank you.
What is this one called?
Yeah, there's one of them, one of the books. Materials compiled. So some are materials compiled and some are materials, some are final materials. Yeah, it's got a lot. Book number three is 146 pages. All right. I'll see if I can find all the rest of the books.
Well, if we can locate it digitally, we will make sure it gets up in the shared drive.
Definitely number three is there, so I'll see what else.
Okay. Sounds like your computer is like mine. It's got an archive of the last 20 years of stuff.
Well, is it just resource recovery agency number two, or is it book two?
I think that's book two. That's number two. No, what you have is number two.
Yeah.
It's a black bar.
With a black bar. Yeah. And then
so
I'll look.
2012. I think this is a different document. Material.
No, I think that's it. I think that's the stuff that we were given to
Gotcha.
This is some of the
material that was filed for the special committee.
If you go into your engine search on the top and change it from a 3 to a 1, it pulls it up. Pulls up a 1.
All right.
But it's just those materials in your file. Was there ever a complete report?
I missed that by
Wow. Okay. So we'll need 12 printed copies.
Notice he's kind of like.
I got side eyed.
Okay, so with that, then, if the committee, being that we now have more time than we anticipated today, without the discussion of the contract, let me put it out to the committee. Is there other topics that you wish to discuss today, or would you like to at least delve into this? Which is why I asked for the printed copy, so you had it in front of you. This is just a synopsis of what we've talked about. Certainly, we can expand on any of it. We can change. You know, it's just I went through the minutes and literally copied and pasted from the minutes into one place. So, yes.
I think we should focus on this, and my impression is that it's recommendations, but that we didn't, we also talked about very specific things, and there may be recommendations around, for example, in the waste diversion section, around materials or around Spoken Hub and Reuse Innovation mm-hmm. Center. And
yeah, I did include a lot of that, and sort of based on the feedback that I got after the last meeting of where I did that just generalized outline, where I believe what the feedback I was getting is that this should be somewhat shorter and to the point and more about not telling the whole history of the meetings but the conclusions, which is why I used the terminology I did, conclusions and recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
It can be whatever we want it to be, but I was basing this based off the feedback that I got last time. So
Well, I think that can all be included in an executive summary, maybe.
Correct.
And the minutes are going to be appendices, correct?
Yes. The minutes will be appendices. Yeah. All the documents we've reviewed will be appendices. The appendices will be substantial. But the impression I got was that this is just a sort of, and I tried to break it up by the agency, the legislature, and the haulers. I didn't get into the local transfer stations yet because we haven't really talked about them. But I just sort of, these are just bullet point synopsises of what the minutes said. Sometimes they're word for word, but other times they're just a topic. But I wanted to just get some feedback. Yeah, this is not the report. don't misunderstand that. This is just an outline for the report.
But yeah. my understanding was, I'm sorry, that we were going to focus on a first draft of the section on waste reduction.
Yes.
And
which is basically what this is.
I meant with diversion.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is basically what this is, because we've talked about diversion, we've talked about disposal. But after that other chart that I put together last meeting, the general feedback was that it was too much information, and that it should be scaled back to shorter and what our recommendations are, which is why I came up with this, which is just a direct reflection of everything we've talked about since December.
May I make a suggestion with...
Absolutely.
For example, mm-hmm. with disposal, we can pretty much cut and paste a lot of this, or we can just reference pages in the Kramnik Solid Waste Management Plan.
Correct.
So, you know, so although this looks like, oh my gosh, this is an incredible amount of work to fill all this in, actually most of the work has been done for us. And
agreed.
Our job is to simply figure out what's been done and consider it among ourselves and then make a recommendation. So it seems to me the main part of the report is, in a sense, going to be our executive summary, which will contain the recommendations.
Agreed.
And everything else will be supporting material. So
right.
We have to figure out, you know, what we want to do. This, I think, is a good start in terms of outlining. It's almost outlining the appendices, like what were the information we're going to present to support our recommendation. Because, you know, we can just, you know, there's all sorts of information about all of this stuff in either the zero waste management plan or the ZWIP or the solid waste management plan.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think what you're saying is exactly what my intention was of creating this is, these are the topics we've talked about, these are the key points that have been brought up. I wanted to, you know, especially things like where we've talked about education, where we've talked about enforcement. I tried to pull direct statements from the minutes and put them into this outline just to remind ourselves of what we've talked about. But exactly what you just said is what the intention of this was, is it's an outline of the appendix. This is not meant, this is just to put things, you know, instead of being on 11 meetings worth of minutes into one place to try to pull it more towards the report. Because what I heard last meeting was that people thought the report should be an executive summary and then recommendations and conclusions.
I understood the report would be organized the way our conversations have been organized.
Correct.
Which is a section on waste diversion, a section...
Right.
And maybe I'm not understanding this.
But this is exactly that, Manna. It talks about, you know, if you look on the first page, diversion of items, and then I go through all the things we've talked about diversion. But in diversion, things like enforcement become a part of the discussion of diversion. Education becomes a part of the discussion about diversion.
Well, I think part of the problem is diversion doesn't stand out when you look at it. So if this is
okay.
The section on diversion, it's hard to find that. So either bold it or you know,
okay.
Enlarge it or whatever.
Yeah,
so that
yeah.
these sections are much more amenable to being scanned and find what you want. Right, I'm looking for diversion. Well, here it is. And then we have disposal. And then if I remember correctly, it's contract and then intergovernmental whatever we want to call it, intergovernmental discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the four sections, if I remember
right.
correctly. Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
No, actually, intergovernmental includes the contract, and then there was economics.
Economics.
Okay, great.
So
thank
it was.
You.
It was the four sections were diversion, disposal, intergovernmental, and economics.
Okay.
We haven't really touched on economics in itself, and that has been part of what I think we've all
right.
discovered is. These four topics are not unique, distinctly separate topics. They all intertwine in many ways.
Right. But you can't get to economics, I don't think, until you do the first three.
Agreed.
So.
Agreed. Yeah. All this was simply is trying to take all those minutes and
yeah.
and gather,
and it's a good start.
Gather the thoughts. And, you know, this, as I said, this is not meant to be the report. This is meant to be just what I... The reason I put it on the agenda is for everybody to be able to take a look at it, and in case there's something in here that somebody says, well, wait a minute, that's not right, or that needs to be explored more, or that needs a bigger section of the report. It's more just for feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's helpful to have it in one place instead of in multiple documents. A couple thoughts that I just want to, and I don't know if this is the right time, but I just want to throw out there. One is that, and I you know, I look this over quickly, but when we get to the parts of our recommendations, I feel very strongly, and this will sound familiar, particularly to Laura and Nana, in, you know, my feedback on the zero waste plan that we were working on, that when we make recommendations, I feel very strongly that they should be firm. This is not a criticism of anything that's on paper. It's a general idea to everyone. That they should be firm recommendations. I don't want to issue a report that says to the legislature, you should think about doing this. Like, I think we should collectively agree and say, we recommend you do this, and specifically say, because we're not at a place to, like, make suggestions to have, like, yet another group think about it. Mm-hmm. And it's also, by design, they're going to be thinking about it. So I think our value is in making strong collective mm-hmm. recommendations. That's the first thing. Second thing, coming off of that, is I just want to raise the idea that because we have been talking about the possibility of siting landfill, and we need to consider where we're going to be on that recommendation in whatever capacity, whatever way we're going to recommend it, do we want to invite or speak to, like, we've been in a kind of a bubble here. And it might be valuable to have someone from DEC Region 3 here to talk to us about that, to actually field our questions and
sure.
to inform us.
Do we have a specific department or person we should invite?
Yes. I don't know who that person is any longer, but definitely that was Dave.
He's moved on. He's not in that exact role.
He's over that. He's higher up. Right.
Well, so if you can figure out a name, I will send an invite to them for the next several meetings and see if they can attend any of them.
And I think not necessarily for the next one. I think we want to be prepared, you know, so we're not, like, just shooting from the hip, like, having. I'm not saying we have to have it all written down, but I think we should speak amongst ourselves about the kinds of questions we want to ask, and then it'll be a free-flowing conversation. But I think it would be important to, at least on certain issues, and that being one of them, that we're trying to do that with haulers. That strikes me as even more challenging, because you're not going to get them all to the table. You're going to get one or two. They're going to have strong opinions.
Right.
And they're for profit. But something like this, where we pontificate about how long it's going to take and what the challenges are, and what, you know, those are all, we should actually get in. We should actually get answers. And the same with the legal questions.
Amanda, if
like
you can
us to actually quantify, so we can get our legal questions sent out to whatever council can actually answer these questions.
So, Amanda, if you can help me identify who I should invite, what if I invite them to either the 23rd or the 30th?
And I think
that gives us two meetings more in between now and then.
Yeah. And I wonder if, you know, regional staff seems to be mainly, like, technical and permitting, right? Mm-hmm. I wonder if it would be good to, I don't have any off the top of my head, somebody who deals kind of more, like, globally with solid waste in New York State from Albany. But that might be the kind of person you want, who's kind of
feel like
picture,
that
programmatic.
The move that, I feel like that's where Dave Pollack went was
okay.
More.
Well, then he may be perfect, because then he covers both then.
Yeah.
You know, he has the experience at three.
I can ask him who she would recommend.
Yeah, he's still, he's overseeing Haz Waste and Solid Waste, so.
But for the state or the region?
No, for the region.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Definitely still regional.
Okay.
But that's what I was saying, is, like, do you want somebody who's more, like, programmatic, looking at, like, kind of larger scale issues from Albany, or do you want somebody who's more, like, permitting, kind of technical staff from the region?
Well, he used to be permitting technical staff, right?
Yeah, he's
so
still
he would know.
Yes,
that
yeah.
Calls. We can
right. I think he sounds perfect.
Yeah.
He has the overview.
That's
of the
really what we want to talk about, I believe, is the permitting and the process.
And my recollection from the Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission, not to be confused with the other feature of the RA Commission, is DC was at the table for a lot of those meetings, and it was very helpful. It really changed the tenor of the conversation. I mean, the constant, oh, this could never happen, that was not the tenor of the conversation with DEC at the table. Which is why, again, I say with a certain amount of confidence that the political is the hardest hurdle in terms of citing takes time, but the political, as we have seen, is the hardest hurdle. So if that may have changed. That was a while ago. I don't know. But it would help us, I think.
Okay.
And it would also help our credibility that we can just talk to each other, come up with our
absolutely.
No, I think that's a very valid point. Yes, ma'am.
I would like to request, not for the next meeting, because I expect that if March is back, we're going to want to finish the contract and the rest of intergovernmental.
Mm-hmm.
But for the week after, a draft of the section on waste diversion, because that's what I was expecting.
That's
today.
Why I'm trying to get feedback on from
okay.
this. So that's why.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So, because if it's not going in the direction that people think it should be going, and Tracy, I agree with you 100% about very specific recommendations. These are the overarching topics, with the hope that we can come up with the exact wording of what those recommendations should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, you know. Putting this together, I didn't feel appropriate that I put the words of the recommendations. This is just the topic. You know, for example, investigate flow control of haulers. It's something that we discussed briefly, but if we are going to make that recommendation, I'm not saying we are or aren't, but if we are making that recommendation to the legislature, then I think we should be very specific about what that...
Of the recycling. Yeah, that's actually the line that piqued it for me, and that's why I said it wasn't specific to what you were
no.
I understand why
this was to
thinking
further the
law.
Conversation.
Yeah, that's why I was clear
yeah.
that...
No, and I understood
here,
what you were saying.
But it did sort of pique my point of that...
Yep.
We got to get to a point where...
And I agree.
We're making a call.
Yeah.
We're making a recommendation.
Yeah.
And or not. Like... I think there's three possibilities. We recommend you do something, we recommend you don't do something, or we're silent. You know, it's like, I just don't want us to tell the legislature to undertake a whole bunch of studies to consider a whole bunch of things. Those things are going to be required with certain actions, but again, we're in like a study of
considering. I don't quite understand if we're making a recommendation, pardon me, the legislature, when it's the RRA's call, you know? I mean, so, and I'm not trying to be combative here.
No, the same would apply. I mean, some recommendations would be to the legislature, some would be to the RRA. If we're saying regulating flow control of recyclables is not the RRA's call.
That's right. So that's what I'm trying to get. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
No. Yeah. I don't mean to zero in on the legislature, just my background. I'm just saying whatever recommendations we're making to whomever we're making them, I would like
now
to
I understand
be
a little
recommendations.
Better. Right. Got it.
And you will find as you read through this, there are some sections that are in both places because they involve both places. Obviously, just using that as an example, if the legislature adopts legislation making the hauler subject to flow control, then obviously the UCRA has to figure out how to implement that.
Mm-hmm.
So one is a legislative act, one is a process act. So that's our action. So that's why I somewhat included this in both places, because it does have a generalized impact on, so, yeah. But this was simply trying to take 11 minutes worth of meetings and sort of distill it down into a little shorter version. Yes, ma'am.
I have two very specific recommendations, and I've looked through this, but I haven't...
Understood. I know it just came out yesterday.
And one is that we find a way to complete a zero waste implementation plan. We have a lot of information. We had an outline of what still needed to be done, and that was going to cost another $5,000. And so that's a very specific recommendation. And the other is, and I will forward to you, maybe it should be an appendix, but my very succinct comments on the Reuse Innovation Center, and the gist of which was that it didn't really, it underutilized the transfer stations, and that we have a unique system in Ulster County that can really promote maximum waste diversion, and that needs to be flushed out. They did a great job of a Dave Benick, is that his name? The model, because he was hired by Sustainable Hudson Valley to give input, and he inspired John Wackman, and I'm not underestimating the value of that, but it was a very specific way of doing things that did not include the, he really didn't understand Ulster County. And then another recommendation, not from Sustainable Hudson Valley, but I think from the agency, is to have, you know, Salvation Army or one of the organizations that's already in the reuse business or have satellites. And I mentioned at the time, and I want to reiterate, that those organizations are trying to fundraise. So their primary goal is not waste diversion. It's reuse and making, being able to fundraise off of, that they get the things for free and they resell them. Which means there's a lot of things, if they don't think it'll resell, rather than investing in repair and the training that comes with that, they reject materials. So those are two things that come to mind. And I'm going to still focus on waste diversion, even though we've touched on other things. So those are...
So if I could ask based on that, and I will say, Manna, if you look at the bottom of page one, the bullet points that are there are very overarching exactly what you just said.
Okay.
So what I would ask everybody to do is, between now and the next meeting or the next two meetings, is take a look at this. If you have very specific language that you want to propose, please send that either to you know, well, I'd rather it go directly through so we're all getting it. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather it go through Liz or through the staff, and then it can be put in the Dropbox, because that's what I'm looking for right now. I mean, this is the synopsis of all the things we talked about. Now I want to take it the next level to exactly what Manna and Tracy and probably all of us are saying is, what are the exact words of, you know, the GWIP, if you look at the legislature, the very first thing is, and this is pretty specific, adopt a zero waste plan, and I put in parentheses the draft GWIP with any latest updates, because as we went through it, we did determine that there were some things that have changed slightly since then. But that's a specific recommendation, but if we want to expand on that more, which I believe we probably should, that's the kind of feedback I'm looking for right now, so we're putting the committee's words, not Mike Baden's words. Let me get Tracy a little.
Not to put her on the spot, but Amanda, you talked about, and I've seen your work before with, you know, a SWOT and a visual sort of depiction. Is that something that you're willing to bring to the table? Because it was very, very helpful in other... committee that we served on and work that was on.
Government. And Amanda and I did meet separately and talked about that, and she's working on that for to include in our report.
So, yes, and then it's actually looking back through those book one, book two, book 3 for the old stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is that same exact thing, is it's trying to kind of, you know, in 600 pages or less, give you the kind of the context, right? So, yeah. And then also what I'm hearing, where my brain goes, is that it's almost like you start with a matrix now that has the recommendations, and you do agency, legislative, you know, state legislative, municipal, and I'm seeing like them being binned, because they'll be interwoven in the report text, but even starting out with the end in mind of mm-hmm. having like, here is the table of recommendations, and then you can just work off implementing them. So I'm already...
Yeah, and that's...
Amanda, I mean, I can't speak highly enough.
Yeah, no,
The way Amanda's brain works, these things, it's very, very helpful. So again, I don't want to put more on you, but I just, speaking from personal experience, it's
600
really helpful.
Pages of context to try to... And sometimes everybody thinks differently.
I think it would also help for us to see where we agree and where we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where those...
Mm-hmm.
Because as you... simplify it, it's easier to be clear.
Yeah. And part of the reason I put it on today's agenda was this gives us in the expectation that we are going to get the one more month. That gives
we're
us essentially...
Take that month,
we're going to exactly. Whether they give it to us or not, we're going to take it.
What are they going to do? Come and drag us out?
And I more or less said that to them, but they did agree. But what this does is gets this conversation going, because Amanda and I did meet about 2 weeks ago and went through this, and it's something that she's working toward, the flowchart idea, and this was just to get to those specific recommendations. And then I would agree with Amanda that our report is a bunch of very specific recommendations, an executive summary, and then a lot of appendices attached to it, because I think if it's too lengthy and too wordy, it gets put on a shelf and doesn't get looked at.
And March felt very strongly about that, too.
Yeah.
So
let me give this a chance.
First of all, I want to acknowledge and thank you for the work that you put into this, because this was clearly a lot of work, and it caught me a little off guard when I walked in, because I hadn't had a chance to really read it.
And
but
I just finished it yesterday.
Work in there. Well, there's a lot of good work and a lot of useful stuff in here, so I wanted to thank you on that.
Yeah.
And then what I wanted to suggest was we can move on from this for now and maybe start discussing disposal a little bit.
Okay.
In our remaining half hour.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Please.
I brought this up at the Energy Environment Sustainability Committee that we would very likely need or request an extension. There was no objection to that, but I'm sort of the liaison because I'm on that committee and this committee, so they know. And no one said anything negative. So.
Yeah, and as I said, the chair and the legislative clerk both said it should be no problem. We'll just get back to you as to how that officially happens, whether they adopt a resolution or just, you know, extend it. I haven't spoken to either of them since that letter of request, which was presented to them the day of the last legislative meeting. So.
I think Peter
I'm
should
circle.
Just
yeah, and I
agree.
Think that was the indication that that's what was going to happen.
Okay.
But I just, you know, I just wanted to keep you all in the loop of we did send the official request, and that's where it starts. But I would agree with you, Jim, that we could just use this time to talk more about disposal, and then the next meeting. Yeah, Mark.
I mean, I went through all the resolutions this week, and I didn't see a resolution
it's not
on
there.
This.
Yeah.
So
it's not
it's
there.
It's not likely to happen this month if they decide that a resolution is needed.
Yeah, I don't think they... I think they were going to talk internally and just sort of informally agree that... How many other committees have just, you know, and as I said to them, I said, we're probably one of the first committees that actually even asked. Most other committees just didn't turn in a report, and, you know, but I wanted to be up front and say, you gave us 6 months, we need another month. So, okay, so with that, let's go back to disposal.
One thing I want to start with is I was kind of embarrassed to find out last meeting that we have official recommendations in the solid waste management plan. We're supposed to be doing like bio high tech. So I went and looked them up. They're out of business. They couldn't make it work. They're gone. As of 2023, they're gone. What?
That means I get to check that office completed when you get out. Right? Perfect.
Yeah. Mark is grinning over there right now.
Yeah, well, I kind of left. But so I'd like to just run down the list that's in the solid waste management plan briefly. Just to remind us what is being considered. This is, and there's much more information starting around page 90 of the official solid waste management plan, the adopted plan. I haven't had a chance to go through the updated, you know, we have an update, our triennial update, and to see if anything has changed that is in there yet. But what they talk about in that plan is, and I'll give you the percentage and the cost per ton, just to give you an idea of what we're talking about here. Export to landfill, which is what we're doing, 100% of waste stream, cost estimated between $100 and $120 per ton. Export by rail, 100% of waste stream, cost estimated between $60 to $120 per ton. A local landfill, 100% of the waste stream, cost per ton estimated $60 to $90 per ton. Composting, 30 to 50% of the waste stream, cost $87 to $125 per ton. Wet AD, which is anaerobic digestion, only 15 to 25% of the waste stream and $189 per ton. Dry AD, 50 to 60% and $151 per ton. Municipal solid waste composting, which I'm not sure, I guess that includes all of it. Anyway.
That's
Delaware County.
Yeah, okay, cool. Anyway, that's 50 to 60% of the waste stream, $125 to $170 per ton.
But that doesn't include that.
That's organic.
It doesn't include the fact that with solid waste composting, you still have a residual that has to be landfilled.
Okay. That was probably in that cost, if I'm being honest. But if you're composting MSW, you're only composting the organics.
Well,
which is why I got 60%.
My point is that for technologies like that, you need to add plus landfill for residuals.
Okay, that might be the
it doesn't take away landfilling. It reduces
the amount in the landfill.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which leads more to the smaller landfill concept.
Yeah.
Because if you're reducing the amount of waste you're landfilling, you may still need a landfill, but you're putting an awful lot less into it.
And then energy from waste, 70 to 90%, that's $249 per ton. Gasification, 70 to 90%, is $226 per ton. Pyrolysis, 15 to 25%, $238 per ton. Ethanol, 15 to 25%, $239 per ton. And biomass, takes 70 to 90%, it's $103 per ton. But I believe biomass is what high-tech was trying, bio-high-tech.
Jim, what's the date of this report?
This is the 2020 solid waste management.
Because those dollar values, obviously.
Yeah, I'm sure everything has changed.
Yeah.
And also, something to consider is that although these are all listed as if they're actual and functioning and doing well, a lot of these are, if you read the actual report, they're not really happening. You know, they're in various stages of development, or they've failed and they've gone out of business. And then there's also the cost, the capital fees to get these up and running. You know, that's all in the solid waste management report, as you may all know. But if you haven't gone back and looked at it in a while, it's pretty eye-opening. The cost, you know, the tens of millions of dollars, which I sort of knew, you know, intellectually, but reading it on a page, you go, whoa, really? You know, it's a whole different animal.
So can I use
we're
that
talking a lot of money.
Can I use that to throw a question out to the committee?
Sure.
Is obviously there's a large number of options that are outlined there. Should we take those options one by one and try to come up with a recommendation of these options should not be considered at all, these options should be considered, these options are the best options? Let me get Tracy first.
Again, having sat on these committees, including that one, I'm not really sure that we have the expertise to weigh in.
Agreed.
On these should be considered or these should not. I mean, that's where the simplicity of the landfill discussion comes in, because as Mana just said, no matter what you're talking about, there ends up being a residual, and so the residual is going to have to go somewhere, and the ideal is that it's smaller, and so that, in theory, like, to me, in theory, is a landfill, like, is a landfill. When you get into technologies, I'm not even sure how to weigh in on it. I mean, I know instinctively that there are certain that I personally oppose. I also know instinctively there are certain that would never fly in this region, not because of siting, but just because of radical, protests that would happen. You couldn't suggest putting in a burn facility in Ulster County and reasonably look yourself in the mirror and think, forget about what I think that that was going to happen. So there's those couple of things that we could sort of just go, let's get rid of.
Yeah.
But, for me, the circle comes back to self-reliance, which is why I strongly opposed the discussion of rail and raising it to one of the ones that was to be studied, because it's just a different means of, like, moving our waste into someone else's backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, the cost, the numbers have gotten bigger and bigger since I first got in this conversation. It's just the nature of inflation. But the cost, and that's the thing I hope we all agree on, the cost is going to become ridiculous when we find ourselves not having done anything with no option. When it's like, okay, and Mark's having to say, well, I lost this opportunity, anything's going to take 10 years, the permit's going to, so now I'm going to have to take everything to Arizona,
which is kind of why I suggest that we rule out any of those that we think these are not feasible at all. But let me get Mark.
We could try, but.
I would just caution using the 2020 local solid waste management plan as your reason to say any of these things are possible or not. Those prices are not the prices I've had several conversations with people who are interested in coming into New York State and Ulster County and doing various things in, anaerobic digestion, other things. Those numbers, for one, they take into account, as Jim said, the capital costs and into a yearly cost, right? Which is the right way to look at it. But if we continue for the next 20 years to send our waste up to Seneca Meadows, our starting point, and it's going to go higher from here, is about $211 million. And that's where we're at right now with our contract. I fully expect that, because we spend about 11 million every single year. So I would expect that only to go up when we get our bids back in a couple months for disposal and transportation. But those numbers for some of those advanced technologies, I mean, I've had companies that say that they want to come in, build something, and it's a $75 per ton fee, which is much lower than those numbers suggest.
But they own it. In that metric, they own it.
In that metric, well, there's multiple options, but in order to have it financed in a way where it's not the agency bonding a $160 mm-hmm. million project, they would own it for 20 years. There's other ones that there's a hydrolysis company that they basically take everything, right? And then that there's a process of hydrolysis which does steam and reduces the pathogens, and then you get all of the organics become compost and can be brown, and the brown side of composting can be added to our composting facility or a good feedstock for anaerobic digestion. And then what is mechanically separated, the plastics and other things, they get separated, but again, they're clean from pathogens because they've gone through this 160 plus degree steam, and then they are sorted and can be sold to like a cement kiln. So there's various different options. In that case, you do have about 5% residual, but if we were only sending 5% to a local landfill, right, that's
can
a
I
lot.
Just can I just respond to that? Because, man, do you mind if I respond to that in terms of the ownership? You know, one of the things that I think we need to be aware of, and I raise this not as an attorney, but, you know, there were extensive discussions. There was a Supreme Court ruling in relation to the legality, you know, hard-fought battle of flow control. And I would raise a concern about flow control of solid waste going to a private company for 20 years because they made an investment. Like, that's, it's directing to one, you know, you, in the same way that you can't, we can't have X, you know, we can't have leases beyond a certain amount of time as a municipality. That Carbone decision was very, very specific that it was about the municipality and the greater good. I'm not sure how it works when a private for-profit company is benefiting not through a regular, you know, open purchasing
bid process.
And I don't think you could do a bid process for 20 years for a long term. It could be argued that it's a kind of monopoly for a private company. Very different if the agency, Public Benefit Corp, or the county owns the facility. And so it's something I think we really need to be cautious about and thinking about as that kind of discussion for technology comes up.
One more direct comment,
wait,
if I may. Let me just directly, because this is directly related to what Mark said.
Six directlies, but
okay.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Ohio Biotech, whatever, they went out of business. They left that county stranded. So that is another thing that I'm concerned about, a private company. I'm sorry, Matt. Thank you.
Okay. I'll work backwards and say I'm very reluctant to put us in a situation where we're over a barrel, even with a contract to some other company that comes in and builds and then owns our waste. But I also want to distinguish between pathogen and other pollutants. You can steam away pathogens, but if there's PFOS or PCBs or chemicals, and that came up with Waste Away. And after Waste Away did their presentation, one of the board members requested an analysis of the waste that was still left over that was going to be land spread. And they never got back to us, and I think for good reason. And the main thing I wanted to say back when Jim was talking is that I think it would be very useful for the report if you could just make a chart of what you just said, and then we can build from there. We can use the caveat that these are old numbers and that there may be much better opportunities, but it's a good starting point for the section on waste disposal. So that's a request.
Chart is in. I took this from the Solid Waste Management Plan. There is a chart in the.
There
solid
is
waste
a chart.
Plan. Yeah,
okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And we can just reference that, cut and paste that chart.
Yes,
exactly.
And then any of the comments that we want to make refer back to that, because I guess I'll ask Mark, are there things that are missing that if we have the chart we should say, and the agency will also be considering those other things, so it would be a chart plus and then a reasonable discussion for that section, and if we can come up with recommendations, we can. If not, at least there's information for the reader and for the legislation. But I think that some of those recommendations can include what Tracy said in terms of a strong environmental ethic or whatever would get people to protest.
I have a question for Mark, because you are an attorney. Tracy's, it seems like a well, you know, I'm worried, not worried, but I'm concerned what you said. Can we even, with flow control, can we even, how would we structure a contract that wouldn't violate flow control?
So I think the procurement side and the legality of the flow control piece are slightly different. Like, we literally send our garbage to a private company right now. It's not like we're a flow control county that has an in-county land fill. So every 5 years or so, we contract with Seneca Meadows, which is a private company, to send our waste there. I understand the length, and that's something we'd have to look at a little bit more. For some of the companies, they want the agency to purchase the equipment and operate it, and then their piece of like how to finance it is setting up. But if the agency wanted to own the pieces of equipment that are out there, depending on the research that's done over the next year or so, or however long it takes the agency to get to a place where we feel comfortable with something or not, a lot of it has to do with financing. If we wanted to bond almost any of the companies, and you could do that through an RFP, there's nothing that stops us from doing, and that is what, like, as I talk to these companies that reach out, or I see out there, I'm like, we are going to be doing an RFP at some time in the near future. So just know that, like, I'm not bringing anybody to the board to try to sign a contract. We're going to do a solicitation and receive in proposals, and then we'll go from there. But I, through the ABO and being a public benefit corporation, we can do a solicitation that allows. I have to double check on like how long, and again, it's the piece that's, it's the financing compared to ownership necessarily. Some places want to come in and own the whole thing, and I think Tracy's point is valid there, where that's something where we would start to run afoul of flow control.
Well, with a public benefit corporation, there's very specific procurement laws that you have to follow. And you know, yes, government all the time has contracts with private entities. If the thought is the only way this can be done is internally within the county, that's going to really put significant limitations on the whole process. But the laws exist, and in terms of length of the contract, I'm sure there's parts of the law that I know on the government level there's laws about the, and the whole RFP process, you're putting out an open and fair request for a proposal. It's viewed by the agency board, and a determination is made. So could it be that there's only a small amount of companies that can actually apply for that? Possibly, but that's probably the same of any contract, that possibility exists. Yeah, sometimes you put out RFPs and you get a dozen or 20 proposals, and sometimes you get two. But, so in terms of disposal, was there other things you wanted to sort of...
No, I wanted to get the discussion started, and it's, you know, it seems to be working quite well.
Yeah.
We have to get to this anyway.
Right.
I wish there was some way to simplify it and, you know, say, yeah, well, let's eliminate A, B, C, D, and F, but... And I'm just popcorning you, you know. We have parts of this is in our control. You know, we can start to compost now. You know, we can start that hub and spoke system we've spoken about. And we can, meanwhile, we'll be still sending, hopefully, to at least 2025 or further to Seneca Meadows. So, you know, the recommendations could be that we start what we can control, start a vigorous composting program, create a RIC, and put some of this as technology develops, because,
right,
you know, we may not have to exactly answer the question. We can just suggest a direction that works for us.
Yeah.
Because honestly, you know, a lot of this stuff, pyrolysis, who knows, it might get great in the near future, or maybe it's gotten to the point that I'm not aware of, and, you know, if we have a small remnant, it can take care of our 15 or 25%. Landfilling is both the easiest and the hardest lift, it seems. You know, the technology is easy, the politics is very difficult.
Well, in my mind, diversion and disposal, even though they intertwine, are two very different topics. I mean, diversion is keeping it from having to be disposed. Obviously, we've all agreed that there, even if you divert a lot, there will always be some amount to be disposed of at the end of the day. Certainly, the goal of diversion is to lessen the amount and to take away from that $11 million a year price tag that we currently have. But it's, and also, for, you know, for the environmental reasons and the greenhouse gas reasons and all of the above. But they're unique topics in that the diversion is, what can we take out of the waste stream so we're not having to get rid of it? And I think we're all in agreement on that.
Yeah, and I would be very clear, and I'm saying this for the minutes for the report, that, and I did a whole PowerPoint for the League of Women Voters on this, that waste diversion maximizes, maximizing waste diversion allows, makes landfill siting easier, because you've reduced the number of trucks, you've reduced the odors, you've reduced the toxicity, and when you add to that a host community benefit, and I also would add a monofill or monofills for materials like plastic, which is so abundant, and yes, we should do utilize ways of reducing that waste stream, but it is so such a major part of our waste stream that there may be something to do other than burning it. And every time I run into something that I can't recycle, I think about the BTUs embodied in it, but also the pollution that results from burning it. So I think I kind of rambled, but hopefully you get my point.
Well, if I may, Mr. Chairman, then Manny, you helped me clarify my thinking. I guess what I was saying is that let's start with the diversion piece.
Yeah.
You know, because that is in our control.
Right.
Yeah.
And the disposal piece, we don't necessarily have to solve right away.
Yeah.
Because we still have, hopefully we'll have 5 years more or so at Seneca Meadows, but obviously we want to get out of there, we're going to have to get out of there at some point.
Well, so if I could use that to go back to this. So what you just said, what I'd like to just point out, if we could just kind of go through it. You know, item number 3 starts diversion, and through item number 6, and then 7 is, I'll wait till everybody gets there. Those are all diversion on a broad topic. 7 is disposal, but then when you get back to 8 through the end of the section on the UCRA is all about the different specifics about diversion. It's talking about composting, it's talking about food waste, it's talking about sorting materials, it's community collections for hazardous waste, and so those were, when we went through the ZWIP, all those very specific topics. So, in essence, on the first 5 pages, it's almost all about diversion. The only topics that aren't is 1, 2, and 7. Everything else on there is essentially the diversion.
And I think that needs to be moved to... No.
Yeah, this wasn't intended to be in any order.
I think that's
just
why
a combination of.
I got confused because clearly thinking about.
Understood.
Section.
Understood. Yeah. And it this was the starting point to take our notes to say.
Got it.
But my point is, most of this document is about diversion, and if you go back to our minutes, most of our conversation has been about diversion.
And hopefully, most of our report will be.
Exactly.
And I think perhaps it's worth kind of stating up front, like a hierarchy, right, to kind of frame
the whole conversation. This is just a graphic I just found. It's very simple, but you know, it just starts with reduction, and then you know, it just frames the discussion that just why we have to get to less, right? So, and then it also lets you drill down a little bit into exactly what those things would look like. But if you, before you got into details, if you kind of had a kind of, we had a consensus statement on why we have to do this, you know, and I think too, when you start to talk about some of those, I was joking before when I said the alchemy of trash, but I feel like a lot of these companies are looking for ways, again, you know, this is a problem that's really pervasive. And, you know, not to nerd out too much, but I think, you know, in terms of, like, thermodynamics, right, you know, that there's only so much you can get out of here. You know, you have the higher BTUs, but how are you trying to convert that? And whether or not we're dependent on technology or to the maximum extent we can, microbes to do that work, because they're so effective at it, and they're just looking for energy from electrons under different types of conditions, and they're so good at doing that. I'm like, they're your little army and your powerhouses to actually make this, where in other places you have to then go into a technological, usually energy-intensive intervention in order to create something different from it. So for me, there's also like a whole hierarchy here of using kind of natural process before using technological interventions. But there's so many other constraints on the reality of the waste stream, and you know, I understand that. I'm like, ideally, we're using microbes to the maximum extent you can. You know, under different conditions, they're producing different amounts of energy, aerobic versus anaerobic, just because of those redox reactions that they're intermediating the microbes. So it's really fascinating. I really like environmental microbiology, but like using those, like it's a powerhouse. They're very, very good at it. Way better than any technology intervention, and kind of then also having that kind of hierarchy. And when we think about that,
piggybacking on what you said, I know it isn't accomplished yet, but mushrooms are now being found that are able to break down plastics.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, so if we monofill them because the mushrooms aren't ready yet, and then we create a system where the mushroom, you know, we dig them back out and put them in the mushroom form, then and that's kind of my point, is we start with what we can with diversion, and because this is all moving very rapidly. And you know, in Europe, they're a little farther ahead than we are. So who knows, in 5 or 10 years, we may have a completely different idea of saying, oh, this will work fine. But I don't think that we're quite there yet.
But I think we have to still keep an open mind to the fact that it's okay if we contract with a private for-profit company who is doing this system. I mean, I think one thing we have to say is, you know, the county doesn't have to do this alone. The county doesn't have to basically, self-reliance is great, but self-reliance in the direction of the plan, but if the people that are actually doing the work, if it's a successful program, if it's a private company versus a not-for-profit versus a government organization. Sometimes a for-profit business can do it and does do it very well, and I think there's no harm in getting a for-profit company
and
involved.
And I think it's important. Go ahead, sorry. That's okay. I just very quickly that there are different funding opportunities for you know, especially waste to energy, things like that, and you have to kind of look at the bigger picture. These are capital intensive operations, and whether or not they could pull different resources, Green Bank, NYSERDA, et cetera, especially if there's an energy component to it. So
Just the thing to remember is government changes rapidly. You have election cycles, the leaders change, opinions change, and you bring in the whole political element of it. Whereas a company is more or less at the end of the day, dollars and cents and keeping their shareholders happy, but they also can be incredibly environmentally conscious at the same time.
Yeah, the flip side.
But often are not, and I'll use Holtec that's decommissioning Indian Point, has a wrap sheet as long as my arm, and so...
Yeah.
What I wanted to bring up was the fact that it does look like the Hurley zero waste pilot project is going to move forward. And I think it's important to include that. And just as we don't know some other technologies, we won't know the answer by the time this report is done, but I think we should include that that's going on, because in terms of waste diversion, their numbers, they're going to try to achieve 80%, if I'm not mistaken. And they do use microbes. Just want to mention that.
Do you want to mention the letter we were considering?
Yeah, so I have a request in from the town of Hurley and Greenways to send a letter. I've asked the board, and there's been no opposition. I'm just saying that the Hurley pilot wouldn't be in violation of the contract or flow control for us, so.
And there's been strong support as well.
There's been strong support from the board.
Yeah, the board seems to think it's a great idea. I know personally I do, but there seems the board agrees as well.
But I think there the important thing is the process of it is what's the important part. It's not to diminish that. You know, I know I just said private industry, but I think we should be cautious in our report of saying this company should be hired, because we do want to not invade on the RFP process and the open bidding process. But the concept of what's being proposed is absolutely a great idea.
And all I'm saying is to cite that it's going on.
Absolutely, and I agree, yeah. But not to say that the RRA should negotiate a contract with company.
That would be
and
like...
For any company, that's up to the RFP.
If there are, if we say that, I believe, from, and I don't know if they're still in business, but reading the Solid Waste Management Report, there are other smaller companies, there are other composting companies.
Yes.
And so we would need to also cite
to
them.
Mention
them. Yeah, at least. So.
Yeah. Okay. It's 11 o'clock. Do people want to continue today, or we can...
I cannot.
Try to, good. That's okay. We can try to keep a tight 11 o'clock here. Thank you all.
Are we next Friday then?
We are next Friday.
Okay.
And the following Friday, we might be able to have something on the waste diversion draft.
Well, so what I'm asking for you all, if you can get me back specific statements that you want to include, and I apologize for the formatting, and I even thought about it, Manna, that I should have done it by the topics, but I just sort of went sequentially. But your point's well taken. But if you give me specific statements that you want to say, that's where I'll go next.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing I do have now after last week is a lot more free time.
And Jim will cite where that chart is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Mark.
And you have the hierarchy. So I'm starting to see the pieces come together.
Thank you.
I would just recommend having an overarching, whether you want to use Roman numerals or whatever, like introduction, diversion,
absolutely, that's
disposal, governance.
Yeah.
Whatever,
the introduction is
like,
going to be
because it is a little hard to pick out.
Oh yeah, this was just Mike Faden sitting on his couch with all the minutes and just kind of putting him in some semblance of order by topic.
Right, and it's very useful. Looking at it is very useful, and I can see it was a lot of work, so thank you for doing that. And that's how we get started.
I appreciate that. It was trying to just take what we had, because I felt like all of us were in a little bit, and I freely admit I'm in a little bit of writer's block, and I just was like, this is going to help me to take it the next step.
Yeah, that's how you break it.
There's minutes to be signed.
Has it gone around the table?
Yeah.
It'll
come back.
So, yes, next Friday. And I will, Amanda, if you can help me get a contact with DC, I will.
Yeah, Dave Paul.
Sorry, I texted Kelly.
I was going to call Kelly and ask her. Yeah.
Okay, so go. You have her number?
I do.
I did text her. She hasn't texted me.
Yeah, I was going to just give her a call and say, who should we talk to from your office about this?
I let her know when the meeting dates were.
Okay.
I was going to let her know you would be in touch.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
She and I, she and I talked a lot over the years about various things, and so I think I actually have her.
Thank you, everybody. See you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
We'll be in touch.
Yes.
I'm going to be down the rest of the day.
You can do that. Sounds good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm fine, but whatever.